Hold on to your trousers, folks, because the government's been experimenting on the U.S. population for a long time, and we got the proof.
Beep, beep, beep. And here's the update. The alien mothership? Yep, you guess it. It's here before you know it, and it's coming at us fast.
And what's the conspiracy behind your wisdom teeth? Are they using them for stem cells, or is it something worse?
Ooh.
Lily, go now.
Oh, my
lord.
Say the lie.
Say the lie!
Stop!
Yes, you do.
You have a
you
line.
You had to be joking.
It's the final thing we say in every intro of all time.
Guys.
Energy.
Anger. This power is...
this power is brought to you.
I cut her off. That's my fault.
This podcast is brought to you and powered by Sunday Cool. Watch this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This power.
There you go.
Yeah, just a little bit. Test. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Ow!
You okay?
Oh, gosh.
That's good.
Get it out.
Get what out, Lil? Get what out?
Why are you guys so mad at me?
Who said we're mad at you?
Look at Andy right now.
Who said we're mad at you? Not me.
Not me.
What time is it?
No, 10:57.
Oh.
Do you think we can go to lunch at intermission?
I mean, we might as well.
Yeah. It'll be about noon.
We lost 30 minutes.
Let it be known for the record that I had asked Josh, hey, can I get there 9:30-ish?
No, you said 10.
And he's like,
no, you said 10.
No, come at 10:30. I can't help that Clarissa sits right next to the bathroom and we hopped into a quick chat.
You can't help that, actually. It's literally the one thing you can control.
Say, hey, love to talk to you. Let me talk to you after.
But she's not going to be here after. Oh, wait.
Oh, wait.
She works here 9 to 5.
Oh, wait!
I don't know if I could do today's pod.
That cup scares me.
The contents of it?
No, just the...
It's...
Very close to the boom.
Yeah.
You know, I spilled my first one this
Precarious.
Morning.
Ooh.
Word of the day.
Good one.
Precarious.
Almost said promiscuous.
Ada's... The lady that runs the front desk, Miss Lafferty,
mm-hmm.
called Ada precocious.
Mm. What? Get really
what
mad.
Did you say?
Take it back.
We're all just staring at you waiting for another context clue.
I guess it means that you are just skilled at something prior to the age of expecting to be good at something.
Yeah, like...
You're advanced.
Crime.
Isn't that a...
Crime.
Isn't that a song in like an old movie?
Yeah. Precocious. It's in Mary Poppins.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Sing it.
Even though the sound of it is always quite atrocious. If you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious.
Oh, yeah. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Wow. Always. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Is that a real word?
That big one?
Yeah.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious? I don't know.
Or do they make it up for the song? Either way, it's genius, but still. It does make me wonder if there's actual definition to it. I wish there was a way we could find out.
Who were we talking to the other day that said Mary Poppins was a witch?
She kind of was.
I think it was me.
What? No, I feel like we were talking
because then like she makes things move with frequencies and sounds, and I said, well, then that makes Mary Poppins a witch.
I mean, I think she's eternal.
I mean, she probably helped build the pyramids.
She probably
floating the stones.
She probably was showing up for kids in caves. And nannying them.
How terrifying would that be?
Because doesn't the new Mary Poppins with what's her face?
Emily Blunt.
Isn't that where she comes back?
I'm not sure. I thought it was a full remake.
Oh.
I can't remember.
I can't remember.
I do love the original, though. I watched that all the time as a kid.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird how, like, you watched them all the time as a kid, but then you take a big break, and you go back and watch those movies, and you're just like, wow, why did that scene stick out so much to me?
Yeah.
Like, there's so many scenes from Mary Poppins that, like, the telephone scene at the very beginning, the wind storm, all that.
Yeah.
There's a scene in the bank at the very end.
Oh, yeah, like, so good.
Yeah. Just sticks with you.
Yeah. Movies used to, like, you know, mean something, teach you something.
Kids these days, dude.
Yeah,
ruining movies.
And they're dragons.
I tried. Did I say? Did I tell you that I tried to watch Chitty Chitty Bang Bang with the girls the other month?
No.
Hated it.
Scary, right?
Very yeah. scary.
Isn't it like I've never watched it, but I've seen clips of like that guy you that's like on the roller and the wheels.
Kid snatcher.
And like stands out. Yeah, it's so scary.
He literally snatches kid off the streets.
Yeah, it looks like one of those just like
puts him in a dungeon.
Fever dream.
Oh, movie. Yeah.
Definitely.
I don't know if I want to watch that. We did watch Iron Giant with the kids last night. They fell asleep during it, but it's so good. Kelsey's never seen it. I'm like, what are you doing?
We were just talking about that. That's weirdly coincidental.
I know. They saw that. You saw the AI trailer?
Oh, that's we all saw the same thing. That's why. Because we're in an echo chamber. Stinko. We're all in the same echo chamber.
To me. I sent it to him.
Jill, come on. Stop. Stop.
Stop. Not everything's a conspiracy.
Conspiracy.
But did you hear about the Iron Giant? About
I've got a really bad headache.
You saw How to Train Your Dragon, the new one?
Here's some Tylenol.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that for you, though?
No, I pulled it out like last week and I'd never taken it.
Throw it.
What's so weird about that?
What if a child walked in here?
What if a child walked in here, took those, and felt better? Had a great time.
Just drank Tylenol. They'd what would happen to the child?
They'd have a great time. That's what would happen.
What, no, that does not look like Tylenol. Are you positive?
Yes. It's the.
It's either that or fentanyl. Take it.
Store
generic?
Brand.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Continue. Tylenol, fentanyl, they all rhyme.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, if something rhymes, it's fine.
Oh. Do you want a song?
We need a verbal response, please. It's being audio and video recorded.
Yes.
Okay.
Can you ease up on Came Kind?
I love that I can shift very easily. Just like, oh, I'm supposed to be angry? Okay, I'll just keep that tone.
Song.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry for being late.
We're here to have a good time.
Sure.
A good time we're having.
Having a good time.
Having a good time.
Not sure how long I can last. Life is moving way too fast. Would I even take a stand if someone else took my land? I don't wanna reminisce. Can't be Putin up with this. If they invade, what's the cure? But I know one thing for sure. I don't wanna be rushing through the days of my life anymore. Not a discussion. Seems every day is a brand new war. And I know they say it's okay when the bombs are headed our way. I don't want to be rushing through my life anymore.
Wow! That was fantastic!
Yes!
Very funny. I love the innuendo.
It's a little play on words. Folks.
Homophones.
You can't say this. It's 2025. Oh, 2025. You can't say that anymore.
They have their rights.
Hey, relax.
Yeah, we love all people. Don't be just throwing out slurs like that. Golly.
Makes me sick.
Stop making that noise.
Why? What noise?
It's making, it's
how about we stop making all noises?
Okay. Why?
We're going to be quiet.
For what?
Oh. It's time.
Oh. Okay.
It's time. It's been weeks since we've had our beloved Lily. Mm-hmm. Easy. Was that a compliment? And we just got a... Just really think about this one today. Okay. This is not a joke. This is not us trying to get you. We're not trying to get anyone. Okay. This is a genuine question. Probably for the first time in Ninjas of Butterflies history. It's not a joke. And I don't want any giggling. I don't want any laughing. I want us to be truly I want us to truly immerse ourselves in this question and just figure it, get to the bottom of it.
Okay.
So today's question, sent in by a viewer. Do first responders deserve a break? Lil, what do you think?
Yeah. Of course. They work so hard. They should be able to take a break and have a sandwich.
We didn't say... Did he not say this was not a joke?
I don't know why you're doing this. Take a break. No, do they deserve a break? They deserve to break a femur, to break a bone, to break a heart? They deserve brokenness?
No.
It's what you just said. You're contradicting yourself.
What you literally just said, Lil.
You said, yes, of course. Without hesitation.
That's not what I meant.
No, it's not what you meant! It's not what you meant!
Oh, we're supposed to just read your mind now.
No,
You guys should add more context to your questions!
Jeez.
You should...
If you would have asked, can I have more context, we would have happily given it to you. When have we ever not given you context?
You just rushed to conclusions. Oh, yeah, they deserve a broken heart.
Yeah,
they deserve to break their bodies after everything they do to protect us.
Don't blame us. Don't blame us for your knee-jerk reaction to that question, because we know how you feel now.
We know exactly how you feel.
They put their life on the line, Lil.
Life on the line, Lil.
Do you feel like a big man talking to me like this? So maybe you feel like guys feel macho? Huh?
I'm glad you're taking this as a joke. You see me laughing?
Did you see Andy laughing? See me laughing?
I did see Andy.
I was trying not to spit out my drink because I was so disgusted by what
you see Andrew laughing? Andrew doesn't think this is funny at all.
He did laugh.
Neither do I.
All right, continue.
Well, I guess you guys heard it here first. Lily thinks this is all a joke. She thinks that first responders, yeah, they deserve the worst. They deserve broken hearts, broken bodies, and what they do, it doesn't matter. Nope. And this is all just funny to her. I'm sorry, first responders. We support you.
Absolutely.
We support you. Welcome to the show!
Oh my gosh.
Did I say ninja? I meant...
Butterfly.
The butterfly is no doubt one of God's chosen.
I said, empty your mind.
You learn martial arts!
Fuck ninjas on deck!
Your response is so funny.
You feel like a big man when you talk to me like that? Big man with the big microphone and big headphones, huh? Like you feel tough?
I'm sweating. I always end up sweating after that.
Pre-warning, I have partaken in the drink of creatine
this morning.
And the science behind it is that creatine helps water be absorbed into your muscles.
Excellent.
Right? Well, turns out the bladder is the most dominant muscle in my body. So I will have to be partaking in the urination quite frequently.
Yeah, yes. To be expected.
Yes.
Yes.
Like very shortly.
Like now.
Yeah, let me just go.
Oh, Lil, we've missed you.
Oh, I missed you guys.
Did you enjoy your break?
Yeah.
What'd you do on your break?
Bro, I don't know.
You could have lied to us.
What do you mean?
He said, did you enjoy being away from us? And you said, yes.
Well, it's nice. Because Thursdays become like really chaotic.
Yeah.
It's hard because now that school's in the mix, so it's just like a lot of running around.
Yeah, I heard Ada needed a break yesterday.
Dude, she is so emotionally intelligent. It's insane. She woke up and she said, I think I need to take a break today. And I was like, okay, yeah, sure. Go ahead. Go right ahead. Listen to your body.
Skip school. I don't care.
Yeah, no, that's literally how I feel. If she were to say that every morning, I would keep her home.
Yeah. Well, now that you've broken that wall,
now it's
like upper sleeve.
I know.
It's going to be easy.
She was excited to go to school this morning. She got ready really easily. And then we were like almost there. And she was like, I want to stay home. And Jane is the one that talked her out of it. She said, but Ada... you're going to play with your friends today.
Yeah.
And she was like, don't talk to me right now, Jane.
I don't want to hear it.
And Jane goes, but I love you. She literally said that. And oh, I'm just goodness. Like, what, do they even need me? Or they,
yeah, that's,
you
know, so funny. But also, Jane's just like, don't ruin my alone time with mom.
I know. Yeah, well, we're not even hanging out, though. That's the sad thing.
But she got her Nana, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She guys going out with Popsy, who has a ginormous dude. Slice out of his body.
We saw the picture.
You know,
that's crazy.
You know, it's real melanoma.
Yeah. That's so
and
scary.
And I said, Steve, you suffer so silently. Yeah. Tell someone. We had no idea that you had cancer.
Yeah.
He told dude. Us at the beach.
Dude, if I had cancer, everyone would know.
I know, me too.
And I'd be wearing t-shirts on it. Be nice to me, I have cancer.
Me too.
I would just be rubbing it in. All that sympathy. I'd ask for discounts when I go to the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere.
Would you shave your head even though you didn't get chemo?
Yeah, 100%. My eyebrows first, though. So it's really obvious.
My question is to the audience. Do we need this light? Do you guys need to see clearly?
Yes.
This part of the room?
Yes.
I don't think they would care. This is a podcast that can listen. Let's turn that light off.
We're a video podcast. That's what we're known for.
This is a comedy show.
It hurts.
We need
my
to
Spotify
show
Spotify said, don't stop what you're doing. You're doing it right. Video is the future.
It's the future, kid.
It's the future, kid.
Imagine this. Everyone, see your face in real time.
Speaking of seeing your face in real time, and Putin.
Mm. Putin pooping. We need to tell that story, by the way.
Yeah.
Even though it was on live, I don't care. It's so funny. Does yeah. she know about it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Never mind.
The poop bag?
Yeah. You told me about it.
Yeah, so for those that didn't see her live, Vladimir Putin...
Be pooping.
...carries around... No, he doesn't. His bodyguards carry around a poop briefcase to where he poops in it when he travels abroad. And when he goes to the restroom, he's accompanied by 6 bodyguards. And the whole point of it is so that foreign intelligence can't collect samples of his poop and determine where his health is at.
Genius move. I'm going to start doing that.
Yeah.
Just really like not in a briefcase, though. It's just in a bag at my desk. And you've got to stop.
My question is, if he flushes it, how are they even going to collect it?
I'm sure they have ways.
If that was their thinking, they're like, oh, we'll get him in the bathroom. Make sure that goes to like a... secure spot. I mean, they would.
Separate. How would they know what stall he uses?
They would secure all of them. All,
sure
it's
they,
one pipe.
They're pretty aware of these things.
That's
if
crazy.
They can make yeah. a river more river, they can make it happen.
Yeah,
a river
that.
More river. Also, who's? I mean, imagine like, congratulations, you now have a job with Mr. Putin. No way. What do I get to do? Well, here's your briefcase.
Where's it? Oh! He never empties it either.
You see Taco Bell get delivered, and you're in the back of the car like,
oh, no.
No, Mr. President, please don't eat bean burrito.
The thing is, the eye doctor that we used to work for, he was a complete, like a vegan freak, like supernatural whole food
kind of guy.
They
had the stinkiest booze.
It was the worst.
No, it's
the
true.
Stinkiest
and
booze.
It stunk up the whole place.
Oh,
and it's like,
gosh.
What are we doing?
It's true. I was a vegan for like 2 years.
It's the fiber.
You're still a vegan because.
Watch your mouth.
Stank in there.
I mean, gonna fool me?
It's the fiber, right?
Like, I was eating a lot of dark leafy greens. Yeah, lots of vegetables.
Yeah.
Dude.
But Putin.
Yes, go ahead.
So, did you hear about how he gifted a man in Alaska a motorcycle?
No, what?
No. It's funny.
What
one
happened?
Of the funniest things. So, Putin met with Trump and stuff, you know. But there's like a little like meet and greet with like some of the locals there in Alaska. And this one Alaskan guy like shook Putin's hand or whatever. And I don't know how it was the briefest interaction ever. But somehow the guy got brought up that the guy has a motorcycle and it's like not really running right now or whatever. And then like literally it was like the next day or the day after that, the government of Russia gifted this man in Alaska a new motorcycle. And the guy's like, okay. He's like, this is very random. He's like,
yeah.
The conversation was like 5 seconds.
Weird.
And he's like, thanks. So, I mean, it's a cool motorcycle.
That's super cool.
It has like a sidecar on it and
my
stuff.
My gosh.
Yeah.
That's maybe the coolest.
Maybe he's trying to win the Alaskans because he wants to win Alaska.
He wants Alaska back.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, what's because he was saying that whole thing where he like wants Christians to return to Russia and find safe haven. Like, what?
Yeah.
What's he playing at?
I don't know.
That's weird.
Dude, that's so
this
real
motorcycle
though.
Will destruct in 5. I'd be scared to ride that thing, dude.
I wish I had the quote from the guy, but he's just like, he's like, basically like, okay, thanks. And like they're interviewing him. He's just like, I don't get it, but I got a motorcycle. I mean, yeah, cool. I mean,
is it treason to accept that gift and ride it around?
I don't know.
Everyone would know.
Yeah.
Golly, what a cool gift.
I know.
That's super a cool move. Random. I'm going to just start buying people motorcycles so they like me.
That's cool.
I mean, that's a good method.
That is a good method.
Yeah.
Speaking of good methods, update on the 3i Atlas.
Yes, the comet.
Yeah.
Alien mothership. Is it behind the sun?
No, but they're saying it's like picking up speed to where it's going to be here like, I think in October or maybe, no, wait. September, I think. So we're supposed to be close to Earth, I think November, but they say it's like picking up speed. And they're seeing that there is propulsion with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the professor from Harvard who's been like, it's probably an alien mothership. This guy, I don't even know what he's basing it off of.
Yeah.
But he's like, everything that I'm observing, it looks like nuclear power.
What?
Using the propulsion. Because it's everything about it is not showing that it's a comet.
Yeah.
Like, because it's not having like a tail necessarily
or
putting off debris. It's like propulsion.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be crazy interesting. Let me bring this idea up. Theoretical. You know, like this idea of like these ancient civilizations that achieved like crazy technology and then like some cataclysmic event happened and wiped them out.
They're coming
what
back.
If a group of them escaped on a spaceship and have been floating around in space and they're like, Earth is inhabitable again.
Whoa. That's a fun theory. Say it again. That's a fun theory.
What do you think they look like? Do you think they look like us or do you think they've evolved?
I bet you they're like giant like Incan people.
I see the opposite because they've been living on a ship. They're probably tiny.
But it's huge. It's like a 7 mile wide ship.
I mean, but think about tens of thousands of years of breeding and growing this
population. But what if it's just like a group of like seven, like the Watchers?
Ooh. Or what if they've been like controlling? I read this sci-fi book in high school that was so interesting. You'd actually love it. I need to find out what it was. But somebody didn't help me because it was popular. So probably a lot of people read it. But they would control the breeding on board the spaceship through the food so that you couldn't overpopulate.
Got it.
And generations lived on the ship.
Kind of like Silo.
You know,
yes.
Do you know that it's a petroglyph. Is that what it is? It's like the Aztec ruins where it's like the spaceship man. Where it literally looks like he's in a rocket.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you seen it?
I think so.
Your theory could be right.
Well, and you know what would be interesting? I mean, like, obviously, like, the only thing that can save us from the trajectory that we're on is Christ. But also, like, these people could come back and be like, hey, nuclear war is what destroyed us back then. Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of these things. Disarm them. Everyone. Yeah.
And so his theory on nuclear power, that's probably only, like, because of only what we know. Like, what we could guess because we don't know if it is something out of this galaxy or whatever. We wouldn't, I mean, it's the only thing comparable to it, right?
Yeah, our thinking that is so limited.
Yeah,
to where it's
yeah.
like there, it looks like there's like levers and stuff.
Oh yeah,
that'd be wild.
And he's like sitting in like a seat that's like going up.
I'd love to talk to this professor or just hear his explanation of if it's approaching Earth as it passes Earth to get to the sun, gravity would speed it up. So I want to know like at what rate
it's going like anti-orbit, though. That's the whole thing. It's not falling what a typical comet or something would fall in line with the orbit of like around the sun.
Yeah.
It's like going the opposite direction.
So this is my
it's
ignorance.
Unpredictable.
My ignorance is like with orbit. If it's from who knows where on a straight line, at what point is something's orbit? Like what effect does that have? Does it actually like run against the grain out in deep space? Because, like, don't you need friction from an atmosphere to, like, actually cause the trail? So it would just be pulling in?
Down? No, you don't know, because it just shoots off the debris or whatever. So that's how they're able to observe a comet is by the tail. You don't need an atmosphere for that.
So it's like, what's it burning then?
Just gas off the face of it.
Okay, so it has gas itself.
Technically, yeah, like a hydrogen or whatever. And it's like it comes off in like dust particles or whatever.
Oh, that's wild looking.
It's going to be fascinating as they get closer that we can observe it more. Because like imagine what if it isn't just like one big rock. It is literally a ship.
Is that a dragon on top?
Probably.
Or a bird?
Why not both?
When I think of 3i Atlas, though, I think of Arrival. How it's like that giant black stone.
Yeah. and it just sits there, dude. That was, I mean, that was truly such a great alien movie because that's literally how we would react. I mean, just these things floating, not having contact, just sitting there.
The concept of that movie was so cool and genius.
Yeah.
Of like how their language, like once you understand the language, you can jump back in time.
Mm-hmm.
That's like,
dude, yeah, I love that movie.
That's crazy concept.
So good.
Spoiler.
There is a this just reminds me of like Three Body Problem so much, that show. And I mean, I don't know, man. Could this be made up? Could this be a, you know, one of the events that the government has built up as like other people around the world also, not just America? Because I know the Harvard scientist was like the big lead on it.
Yeah, I don't know.
That would be interesting. Like if other people around the world are also observing this.
Yeah, I think we talked about it before, but AJ from the Y-Files, he did a video on just how vulnerable Earth is to comets and like how much their impact. It's a really fascinating video, but like we know so little that like scientists, it's like such a small percentage of like what we can actually do to prevent something from hitting the Earth.
Yeah, and what we actually can confirm is real and what we know compared to like, this is speculation.
Yeah.
Because that line is so blurry.
Yeah. Dude. And Bruce Willis is out of commission.
Yeah.
Dang it.
Dude, this is blowing my mind. A comet does not burn. It's, think of it as a giant dirty snowball. And it's the frozen ice, gas, and dust. The sun is melting it. And as it fades off, it's reflection of light.
Interesting.
So it's literally cold. It's not burning.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
No fun. Let's just blow up the sun.
But what is that? Let's talk about that for a minute. What are these rocks in space?
Yeah, where'd the water come from to have a frozen?
Did a planet explode and it's got rocks and stuff in?
That's some people's theory of like, so like the rings of Saturn and stuff are actually from a planet that was destroyed in our own solar system. And some of the moons around these planets are fragments of that planet.
Oh man. Are they oblong? Because I've always pictured them perfectly round.
No, they're very, like though, if you looked at, I think it's the moons around, is it Saturn or Jupiter? They're like very weird misshapen. That's what makes our moon super unique, is like its uniformity.
Yeah. Spherical.
Dude. Spherical. And its size comparison to the Earth.
And because it is not naturally occurring, we put it there.
And because it is a satellite.
Yes. 110%. Holding the elites inside.
Mm-hmm.
Ready for war.
It's a timeshare opportunity.
That'd be so cool. Just go to the moon.
There's a theme park.
It's like, hey, we can all go in on this. If we want to break it up, we could do vacations. Let's make it happen.
Speaking of the moon.
Andy's going on about the timeshare again.
Guys, it's the moon. You're going to love it.
Did you guys hear about the depression brain chip?
Nope.
This is
so weird. So a man who had severe depression for more than 3 decades appears to have gone into remission thanks to a bespoke brain pacemaker that selectively activates different areas of the brain. He experienced joy for the first time in years. They did it at the University of Minnesota or whatever, but it was this experimental thing to where they literally put a brain chip in this person's brain and electrically activate the part of your brain that brings joy.
I don't know how I like that.
I don't know either.
It's just like artificial joy. Yeah, I mean, it's not artificial,
not artificial,
I guess,
but it's like
forced joy.
Artificial triggered joy.
Yeah. What it got me
just
thinking
get this
about
guy on
is
a
like,
jet ski, dude. Come on. What are we doing?
Yeah. But I mean, that's that. To me, that was freaky.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's cool that they're able to medically.
Right.
Something that. Because he's been on antidepressants for over 30 years or something.
Yeah.
Nothing's been working. Feeling joy for the first time in 30 years is insane.
Amazing.
I think that's dope. But at the same time, how you can take something and with this talk of all these brain chips, Neuralink, that one company we talked about.
Yeah.
I forget the name of it. Starts with an S. But how you can affect emotions now.
Mm-hmm.
Based off of something that you implant in your brain.
Yeah, and there's just the implications of that. Like, what other emotions can they control?
Yeah.
Can it go bad?
It makes me think of Kingsman.
Yeah.
That signal to where it makes everyone angry and want to kill each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Freaky.
I don't know, man. That's such a, like, a, it's such a slippery slope.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it's like, yeah, like going, like, cause then they could control whatever emotions. And I don't know if it's, I mean, one day that'll be remotely operated or something, you know, like that could be, that is scary. I don't know how I'd feel about that.
It's interesting when you think though about, cause like a lot of those antidepressants, they're like dopamine regulators and stuff like that. And so they're doing like a physical medical solution to it. But then it begs the question, like, where do you draw the moral line? Like, I'm a doom scroller. I'll get caught for hours. And that's a dopamine feed.
Yeah.
And so like the morality of like, I'm regulating my dopamine by watching YouTube, you know, for hours on end. At like what point, where in this conversation do we draw the line and say, this is good, this is not?
You're right.
I've been noticing, because this whole week, me, Lil, and the girls have been not doing TV.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're fasting TV this week.
Nice.
Just to like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Try it out.
It was a challenge from Kenny. Yeah, Pastor Kenny challenged everybody.
The dopamine hit is crazy, because since not watching TV, I've been like craving sugar.
Yeah.
So like when I buy a chocolate, I'm just like, oh my gosh, dude.
So getting your fix somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's you need the dopamine. Yeah. It's so funny.
Dude, Kelsey's trying to do a whole month with no sugar, like no added sugar.
That's crazy.
And I'm like, that's literally everything in our life.
Yeah.
Everything. I mean, like anything you eat in your fridge, like now it's added sugar, like even cheeses and stuff like that. It's like, what are we doing?
She's doing so good. Yeah. And she's like lifting too. I gotta get on the Kelsey train.
She's buff.
Speaking of buff.
You can talk about me if you want.
Let's talk about the power grid.
Okay.
This is a little scary. So I saw this article. It says, AI expert returns from China stunned. He said, the U.S. grid is so weak, the race may already be over.
Yeah, dude. No, it's true.
In what ways?
Listen to this. So I'm just going to read it. AI experts returning from China say the real threat to U.S. dominance is the real threat to U.S. dominance and advantage technology isn't research or talent, it's the power grid.
Yeah.
In China, energy is always available. In the U.S., it's becoming a growing roadblock.
I went down the road. Sorry.
You mean read that part again?
Please.
In China, energy is always available. In the U.S., it's becoming a growing roadblock. China built decades of excess power capacity, maintaining a reserve margin of 80 to 100%. That flips the script. Data centers aren't at a risk to the grid. They help soak up surplus energy. It's why China can scale AI fast without second guessing. Yeah. The U.S. grid typically runs with a reserve margin of 15% or less, which leaves almost no room for new demand. Companies are already building their own power plants, and households are getting hit with higher bills as AI infrastructure pushes local grids to the limit. Experts say the gap comes down to structure. China plans its energy decades ahead, while the U.S. only responds once demand shows up. As one expert put it, China is set up to hit grand slams. The U.S. at best can get on base.
Proactive, reactive.
I know, this was in my head too.
Yeah, China, they've just been
planning for it.
For this whole AI thing. And we are in trouble.
Just going with the flow.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you guys need more? Yeah, we got it. Like,
yeah, I mean, we talked about the Project Stargate. The Sam Altman
thing,
OpenAI, how they're building their own power plants.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It's weird, man. I don't understand like how we, as a country, that just seems like we are so reactionary with everything.
Yeah.
And our whole government. And so it's just like, I mean, where's the downfall of that though? If China's ahead, like, does that hurts us? How?
Ahead of AI?
Yeah.
They can take over.
Yeah.
They say the first one to basically have, what was the terminology? The first one to control AI controls the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, we've been in a race with China. I think we might have better technology AI-wise than China, but they have the full infrastructure. They've talked about this one guy, basically, he's an AI expert, laid out this timeline of the war on AI. And he's like, China's already infiltrated the U.S. with spies to gain information on the technology of AI in the U.S. They're bringing it back. And so I think his prediction was by 2027, China will be way far advanced than the U.S. in AI.
Yeah. And how do they attack with that? Like, how do you take over with AI?
Our power grid, banking systems, medical systems. I mean, everything that it's online based.
Anything digital.
Weapons.
Yeah.
Radar.
Gosh.
Everything. Yeah.
Nuclear codes.
Yeah.
Man. See, that's the thing. It's like, it's almost like it's just a ticking time bomb. We just have to, it's just a waiting game at this point. You know, like,
yeah,
it makes you wonder, like, how far in the future can we plan as, like, normal human beings? And then maybe that's all in vain because it's not going to get there.
Yeah. I mean, they've been saying it the government and FBI and all whoever, they've been saying of how our power grid is so vulnerable. It's so outdated.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we had those attacks, I think it was last year, at those power plants where those dudes just literally drove in, blew it up,
mm-hmm.
and it like made like however many thousands of people lose power. It's like, it's that vulnerable.
Yeah. It's that easy.
We hang our electric lines from the sky.
So check this out. This is, I'm kind of tripping on this. I looked up how much the U.S. government spends subsidizing energy, and it's like $28 billion, which... with our, you know, economic debt, that makes sense. And so I looked up how many households in the U.S., right? There's like over 300 million people, but like how many would it be? 128 million. What's the cost of the average home to go solar? It's between like 15 and 20 grand. So for approximately, and this math can't be right, but I think it is 15. Oh yeah, I know where I messed up. Never mind.
Well, you know, that brings an interesting point though, because it's like how expensive and a lot of restrictions of solar, right. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, because the U.S. forever, like at least you can trace it back to Nikola Tesla trying to create free energy, and J.P. Morgan's like, how do you put a meter on that?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you don't. It's free energy. So it's been just about capitalism and profit.
Literally.
You know, so that's why we haven't advanced like China, because China's a communist country. Everything belongs to the communists.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, we'll just keep growing our infrastructure for power grids because no one profits except the state, you know?
Yeah.
But for the U.S., it's like it's industries that own the power grid. It's not the U.S. government. So it's like we're behind the times.
Yeah.
It's like one of the instances where capitalism comes to bite you in the butt.
It's just like bringing a knife to a gunfight.
One of the many. Yeah.
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 So for like 2 trillion.
Do what?
2 trillion, you could put every home on solar.
Write the check, Mr. Trump.
Yeah, come on.
Come on, let's do it. I mean, that we're so behind in all that.
Yeah.
And it just makes us wonder, like, I don't know. Like, it's just... ancient, like, I mean, ancient civilizations only last for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what happens? Like, we think they're just going to continue forever? Because someone's going to get greedy. Someone's going to want to make a move.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, what would be the downfall for other, like, for China to take over the U.S.? Like, if we cease to, like, exist as a whole government, like, of a democracy of people.
I think they're just still scared. The reason why they're not, right, is because they're still scared of, like, our capabilities, especially as, like, with nuclear power, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're still dominant in military and nuclear bombs, and we're a key factor in, like, the economics of the world, you know? Yeah. So it's, like, can't just take us out, but you can slowly chip away or prepare.
Yeah.
The goal isn't to conquer, because if you conquer, you have to rule, and they don't have the infrastructure to rule all of the United States. So they're going to chip away until we're dependent on
definitely
them.
Will if you're the leader in AI, though.
That's what I'm saying. If you can chip away, okay, now we have an edge. We have the solutions to all the energy. We hit their grid, and yet now we have the technological solution to no grid. And so now you answer you're beholden unto us.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I don't want to be Chinese.
Oh,
but what if I'm already Chinese?
I saw an interview of a guy on YouTube, and he was talking with his friend who used to apparently work on nuclear sites, missiles and stuff like that. Like just whatever. I don't know the details of what he used to do, but he says, I obviously can't tell you where our nuclear bombs are at.
Right.
He says, but it would surprise you like really? Crazy. He's like, it would blow your mind.
It's under where every Walmart.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what is like, there's every Chuck E. Cheese ready to blow? I mean, yeah, like, I have no idea.
I was going to say, like, it's like the silo opens and it's in like Stony Brook Hills or something. It's like in residential home.
Yeah.
Places. Well, think
it. It makes you wonder, like, where actually could it be?
If they put it under every Walmart, you think of the alibi of like every like the Walmart people, mm-hmm. like there's a nuclear bomb under here. Like,
sure, Errol.
All right, buddy.
Okay.
What do you mean, Walmart people?
You know what I mean. Everyone knows what I mean.
Don't look at me like that. Everyone knows. Don't worry.
I tell you what,
it.
one of them's definitely in Eustis because I can't figure out why that armory is in downtown Eustis.
That armory. Oh yeah.
It would just make sense. Like it would have
yeah,
to be under
weird, isn't it?
Big security, but it wouldn't be obvious.
Yeah.
So you gotta kinda like think of like places that are under a ton of security.
Yeah.
But it's places we'd never think of.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That's fun. That's fun to think about because it's like it'd be so neat, just some farmer on his land and just seeing it open and taking off. I'm like,
oh man,
look at there go.
Speaking of capitalism and nuclear bombs,
yeah,
this story was a crazy story. I forget the YouTuber I saw it, but I did research on it. Have you heard of the Lake Pinure incident in Louisiana?
Lake Pinure? No.
This is a crazy thing. So, it's this fairly decently sized lake, not a huge lake. In a Louisiana called Lake Pinure. And since 1910, underneath this lake, it's like an ancient lake, but it's very shallow. It's 10 feet deep.
Whoa.
But underneath this lake was a vast amount of salt.
Okay. Cool.
And so a salt mine company started in 1910, salt mining underneath this lake. And it just so happened this lake was also on an oil reserve.
Mm.
So Texaco in 1980... I don't know when they started, but in 1980, while Texaco was drilling in this lake, like with their barges and stuff in this lake, they accidentally pierced into the salt mine.
Oh no!
Drilled straight into it. And at the time, the salt mine worker, there's 55 salt mine workers down in the salt mine. I mean, hundreds of thousands of feet below the surface.
Yeah.
All of a sudden they just started hearing this like, and then all of a sudden it's like, you see this like, bloop. Just and they're like, uh-oh. And so they're like, all right, everyone, come on, let's start it. And then all of a sudden, it's like, the water started just gushing in.
Dude.
And luckily, all 55 salt miners were able to get out, but this thing filled up within minutes.
Yeah.
Just because the entire lake started coming down on it.
Just draining.
Yeah.
Gosh.
But the drill, the guys that were running the barge up top, they heard this clanking sound, like, what in the world? And they kept on drilling. And all of a sudden, just this small, what do you call it?
Whirlpool
started forming in the middle of the lake. And they're like, uh-oh. And then all of a sudden, it started getting faster and faster. It ended up, they all escaped, but it ended up sucking in the entire barge. This little island that was on the lake sucked that in. That had a house on it, sucked in trucks, boats, a tugboat. Sucked it all in. No one died in this incident.
All underground. It just got sucked in.
Yeah.
Golly.
But they said, because it was sucking in so fast that at one point it created the largest waterfall in Louisiana. It was literally a 200-foot waterfall in the middle of this lake, sucking in the entire lake.
Oh, my gosh.
Straight down.
It sucked it all in. And there was a canal leading from the lake to the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah.
It was such pressure that it went in, and when it hit, it blew back up like a geyser. And when it did that, the canal reversed to where the Gulf of Mexico sucked salt water into the lake. And so now this lake is a saltwater lake, and it's up to 1,300 feet deep.
Yikes.
Holy
spooky.
Crap. So it just removed, like, it's all the land underneath the lake just was caving
in.
Like a
in.
Sinkhole.
Yeah, because it filled the mines.
Oh, my gosh.
Trying to think of how much mining they did to do that.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah.
I saw a map of it, and it was a massive amount because they've been doing it since the 1910.
Dude, what did that salt mine get from Texaco?
Well, they got $32 million.
Yeah, I would hope.
Yeah.
Dang.
That seems
so Texaco was sued, obviously.
Yeah.
They settled for $32 million, and the surrounding businesses and residents got $12.8 million.
Each. Whoa. Yeah, how nice would that be? Yeah.
Golly, dude.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It's insane that they said it was the largest infrastructure catastrophe with zero casualties.
Wow. I mean, lucky for them.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Lucky. Wow.
But I can't imagine like being on land just watching that transpire.
They said
like,
a 200-foot waterfall in the middle of this lake. It was just, it opened up.
Dude,
like the earth opened up.
The sound of it.
Oh,
yeah.
Dude.
So scary. You'd be thinking the world's ending.
I think the world is ending. Yeah.
Could you imagine that happening? And then you just see this canal go, whoop. Like they said it rushed back in. They said it was almost like a tidal wave from the Gulf of Mexico.
Dude, a surfer's just getting sucked into Louisiana. No!
Dude, yeah. I'm trying to think about the correlation between salt water because they were salt mining before it sucked the Gulf in.
Yeah, so it was a freshwater lake.
With a salt mine underneath it.
Yeah.
But then there was also oil that Texaco was after.
Yeah.
So again, we have mineral resource close to salt water. I wonder, this is purely speculation, but thinking about like the flood narrative and like petroleum being from like compression and time. Like I wonder if the layer of salt, like if the oceans flooded, flooded the earth, you create this like sediment. Layer that would like trap in that fossil fuel. I wonder if that science checks out.
Interesting.
Just the thought.
Yeah. What if the earth, when it was first created, was all fresh water? And then when the flood happened, it switched to salt water.
That'd be interesting.
I know that's not what you're saying, but that's where my head went.
Okay. I was like, wait.
That is an interesting thought. Like, if, because like it's not drinkable, but like was all water drinkable back then?
Mm.
It'd be interesting.
Did I,
what's the thought process behind that?
Did I talk on the pod about my buddy who asked to be unnamed but sent me info in regards to my whole theory about the Texas lithium mining?
I don't think you talked about it.
Okay, so if you know who knows if it's true or not. We do know that they were in Texas with the flood. We do know that they were oil companies and energy companies were buying up land in order to, you know, they were hoping for this lithium deposit to cash out. And so they're doing this stuff. And it was my theory all along, just because the Texas legislation now allows for the companies that are bringing up wastewater, they have the rights to that wastewater rather than it being considered part of like the drinkable aquifer. There's like weird laws that got passed anyways. And so it was just a theory that's why they're flooding stuff. They're trying to get in there. I have a friend who works in the oil industry. And he said, by the way, your theory's probably pretty dead on. He said, because the company I work for is actively now trying to, it's called a centrifuge. It's a big machine that like spins it and separates, but they're actively working on getting lithium out of wastewater. He was like,
an oil company?
Yeah. The one he works for. He sent me a photo of their centrifuge. He said, ours is too small and the tech's not there. But he was like, just so you know. He's like, I'm not telling you anything else. Don't use my name. He was like, but they're trying to get lithium out of wastewater. And he works predominantly not in Texas or in Arkansas, but he's over on the, I think, East Coast, like possibly North Carolina. But I think it's interesting that that's the new move in energy, is that they're getting lithium from wastewater.
Probably trying to catch up with China's freaking power grid structure.
Yeah. Seems like we got a lot of catch up to do.
Seems like it.
Yeah.
You know what it also seems like?
We got that!
Fall.
Autumn.
Trees.
Leaves.
Pumpkins.
Patches.
Fall is right around the corner. Aren't you going to get your Sunday cool stuff?
Playing football in the dirt. Don't forget you need a shirt from SundayCool.com.
Custom merch, custom hats, stickers, all the things you need. SundayCool.com.
Throwing hay and all that stuff in all that lofts.
Pumpkins.
We need sure that you get a shirt that's super soft. Super soft.
72-hour turnaround, sundaycool.com, custom merch. Go get it now. We've done better.
I don't think so.
How could you be so far?
I don't want to be Russian.
Maybe I got a snake in here.
Baby, not my fun.
Little
sneaky.
I haven't even touched the stuff that I want to talk about.
Good.
I haven't even touched it.
I was just about to talk about the Wallace line, but then you went to break.
Oh, my gosh.
We were talking about water. I was like, oh, that's a good segue.
Well, let's talk about your Wallace line right after. Question corner
with Lily, with questions are fresh on her mind.
I don't have a question.
Too stinking bad.
I don't have one.
Go to Discord and go to the questions
you
corner
guys,
with Lily.
I literally forgot about it.
You have one job.
I know. Oh, no.
Out of all your responsibilities, you have this is top priority.
You want to flip-flop the order?
Yeah.
Flip-flop, flip-flop, flip-flop.
We got a reel.
He's going to show up.
Right now.
Right now.
Yeah.
This is so imagine waking up in the middle of the night to just who knows what kind of commotion happening in your kitchen. This dude gets up and is the most equipped, ready to go. You'll have to decide if this is something we can actually show, but I think this is epic.
Do we need volume?
Yeah.
We don't have that cord, do we?
I mean, it's not that. You'll hear it.
Okay. Ready?
Yep.
3, 2, 1. Oh, wait, that's music. It might get flagged.
Yep, I sent the wrong one. Hold up. Where the heck is it?
Get off?
Yep.
Okay, don't look.
Go back to Lily. I got to airdrop.
No, we can't.
Something did not.
Dang it.
For those of you guys who aren't on our Discord, in our description, you should have a link to our Ninjas and Butterflies Discord. We do have a Patreon-only Discord as well, but we have a public one. So you go in there, submit questions that Lily might need.
Waiting... Tell us about your way.
The Wallace line.
The Wallace line.
It's a weird but I don't even know how to pronounce it. But there's this invisible line between. So you have Indonesia and then you have Australia, right? You have Bali, you have the Philippines, and then there's Australia. There's an invisible line between these islands. That for some reason, marine biologists have no idea. Biologists have no clue why animals cannot cross. There's only like a 20-mile.
I heard of that a long time ago.
It's crazy because there's only like a 20-mile difference. But so on this side, on the Asia side, you have tigers, elephants, monkeys, all these types of things. But then 20 miles over, you have animals
that are completely different species.
Snakes that don't even belong to the snake family. You have marsupials like kangaroos and koalas, and then you have dingoes, monitor lizards.
Monitor lizard is correct.
Yeah.
Oh, what's a monitor?
That's
a manta ray. Monterey is a place in California.
Yeah.
Right.
Sick place though. But yeah, it's just such a. Like a weird, people cannot figure out exactly why it was discovered a long time ago and by a guy named Wallace.
It's correct, right? That they've never observed those animals crossing over.
Even the fish will not cross over this invisible line within the ocean. Birds will not fly to the other side. It's just a border that animals instinctively just don't cross for some unknown reason.
Weird.
And you just have different species that are incredibly strange. I mean, you think about marsupials, like what is it? And it's almost identical ecosystems. So it's like,
strange.
What's the different? Like, what is that?
You wonder if it's like a gravitational force or something, or like a, I don't know, frequency
or a ley line or whatever.
Yeah, but it'd have to be something we can't measure.
Yeah.
Because you know they're trying to figure that out. They'd find gravity or energy.
And why animals are the ones that are the only things that don't cross it.
That is something I've been trying to figure out or just been thinking about. Why? How do they know about a ley line? How do they discover a ley line?
I mean, that's a frequency thing, right?
It's a gravitational anomaly, I think.
And people just catch a vibe or they measure it somehow?
I think it's purely vibes. That seems off. These animals are like really in tune with vibes.
Like, this place is giving me the creeps.
No, I mean, I think they... I'm ignorant in the whole topic. We got to get that one guy that we met at BlurryCon. He runs, he's a handler for the Sasquatch guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He knows everything about ley lines. He was like schooling us, and I'm just like, what?
Dude, it'd be almost interesting to do like a quick, like 2 minute, like podcast interviews, walking around and just asking people questions and like,
yeah,
then we do a compilation. Yeah, of people at BlurryCon. Because you know, okay, there's people that are there that are just like
super knowledgeable,
like on very niche things that they find interesting. And it's like, just pitch us your craziest theory or like thing that you've ever heard.
Yeah, give us your hot take. Yeah.
That line though, that is fascinating.
It's crazy.
And it almost makes you like want to like study the history around it and like how the people interacted in that those areas. And
yeah, for sure.
Interesting.
Yeah. Cultures are completely different as well. But I mean, the ecosystems are almost exactly the same.
Isn't it also crazy that Australia was set up for basically a prisoner island by the British Empire?
Was it?
I thought it was the Dutch.
It was the British, I believe. Oh. Ned Kelly. He's the only prisoner I know.
Ned Kelly.
And it's like a beautiful island.
Yeah.
Of course, also, they took it over and the Aboriginal people had to suffer.
Also, how'd that accent come about?
It's
the craziest accent. Yeah. I love it so much.
It's insane.
So fun. All right, who's ready?
I'm ready. It's there.
Jeez.
Go ahead, Andrew.
I feel like we need a new song.
It's already there.
All right, ready? All right, 3, 2, 1.
No sound? Is it up?
Oh.
Oh my God.
Dude?
What was it?
Wait for it. It'll show you. This is the close-up.
Oh my Lanta, bro.
He shot the bear?
Dude. Why would you shoot that?
I blurred out the red and blurred out the face, but...
Bro.
That was goosebumps. Big reaction time. Was this guy in the military?
That's what I'm saying.
I mean...
That's crazy.
That's nutso. Dude, that thing was coming around the corner
to
attack.
I am so impressed with... I mean...
Because
so
you're
what
aiming
I,
high. You're thinking it's an intruder.
Dude, what I blurred out... On the head, he's got shots through the dome.
Bro.
Dude.
That's crazy. The adrenaline.
When his flashlight went out.
But like, how crazy is that? Like, I mean, precision, calmness. There's like a bunch of like military and whatever Instagram accounts have like all reshared it. And every one of them is like, this is why you train.
Yeah.
It looked exactly like how you should handle that.
Gosh, man. That would be scary because you're probably thinking it's an intruder, so you're up high and then having to back up and dip down. Like,
yep. And so
crazy.
The guy's anonymous. This happened in Tennessee. The guy's anonymous. Obviously, animal rights people and all this crap. It's illegal to hunt bears. You know, everything.
It's in your house.
Your home.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I don't know if it went to court or whatever, but the official, he was found completely, like, not guilty of anything. Like,
right.
Like, Fish and Wildlife, no one. They're like, yeah, it. The dude's in his house and a bear turned the corner.
What if it was a hoax though? They went and hunt a bear and then they carried it inside and they're like, their buddy's like holding it up. He's like, okay, come around the corner. And he just throws the bear.
Just tranquilize a bear, bring it in your home and wait for it to wake up.
Dude, that's crazy.
Bears are smart, man. It's like that one bear that breaks through the door, but then knows the door is going to swing back. So it holds its paw out. I'm like, dude,
yeah.
It's so scary.
I think that animals are getting smarter.
Oh, they have to be, right?
I think they're going to revolt.
Mm.
I'm reading a book right now. I just started it last night. It's called The Hollow Kingdom. And the premise is a zombie apocalypse book, but it's all told from the animals' perspectives. And I'm like, this is going to be a good book.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's super
That's
fun.
That's kind of chilling.
Yeah.
You know what I want to do more research into?
Huh?
Have you heard how they used to have birthing centers and they would give birth in basically like a pool with dolphins?
Mm-hmm. No.
And they've outlawed it.
Yeah, because people were dying.
I haven't heard that. I heard that there's something more like mystical about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So there was like a one instance that I heard of where it was something crazy happened.
Yeah.
What'd you hear?
Somebody died.
How?
Dolphin.
Like
the dolphin attacked?
Mm-hmm.
The baby or the mom?
I might have dreamt this. Let me make sure.
I have never heard that.
The dolphin jumped it, probably.
Birth.
I don't trust dolphin trainers anymore.
Mm.
Dude, you know what's ticking me off is like these killer whales that are in pools That you've seen that, like the drone footage of them just in small pools that are completely green.
Abandoned like parks.
It's not even abandoned. Like there's something, but it's like, how is that okay still?
Yeah. Mexico banned all marine animals being captive.
I mean, I love going to SeaWorld and seeing, I love aquariums, all that stuff, but it's like, this is gross. Like it's kind of crazy to me that it's like been years and it's so incredibly sad. I mean, like, I don't even know what to, I think putting down the animal would be more like merciful.
Yeah.
Than letting it live. Golly.
I know there was one that just went viral or whatever. And they actually,
I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that, but let me also,
What a headline.
Crazy headline.
Business Insider. Chillax,
dude. I'm just sending that to you guys so you can see that.
Yeah, well, we won't talk about it.
Let's just say Lily was telling the truth.
Yeah. Let me show you this picture that Ada said, can I take your picture? I'm sending it just to Josh.
This is a fun section of the podcast.
My gosh.
It's scary.
Well,
anyway.
Boo.
I'll show, all right, I'll show you.
Come on.
Ada said, can I take your picture like this?
Do you got a question?
Yeah.
Question with Lily, where the questions are finally fresh on her mind.
Okay. Finally.
Where'd this thing go?
If you had to share a studio apartment with one wild animal for a year, which animal would you choose?
Koala.
Raccoon.
Raccoon. They'll eat all your food. I'd pick a turtle. Go for tortoise.
Man, it's in your studio apartment.
A studio apartment.
So you don't have a lot of room.
No, but if you get a tall bed, a tortoise is not going to climb that.
Why wouldn't you want it to climb with you? You know, chillax and snuggle?
I'm trying to bond with the creature, not avoid it.
I'm avoiding this.
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I think...
I'm just going to say not worth the wait.
Sorry, I'd come up with it really fast because I forgot.
Did you have to come up with it?
ChatGPT had to come up with it.
Come on.
You guys, my brain isn't working today. Be nice.
I would do I was going to say howler monkey, but then those things are terrible.
Yeah.
Dude, my friend had a capuchin. He said that thing was awesome. It would microwave food for him.
What's a capuchin?
Capuchin? It's like a little monkey. You can train him.
What would be something that's
I
really
I had a buddy
crazy?
Back in the day, they had a bunch of pet ferrets. Ew. Those things stank. They stank so bad.
They are
I think
terrible.
They pee on themselves.
They're terrible.
Oh, dude. Speaking of things that smell bad, went out to the property to deal with my deer feeder. Hasn't been dropping corn. I thought it was empty. Dude, what had happened is squirrels had eaten a hole in the top, and it's still half full of corn, but the corn had soured and gotten nasty in the bottom of the thing. So I'm like, whatever. I took the bottom off, and I took a stick. I was going to break it loose. As soon as the first layer of corn fell, it was, I don't know what slime corn becomes, but inside the dry outside of corn was just a ball of maggots and grubs.
Ugh.
And literally, that is one of the worst smells I've ever smelled. And I have to, like, have my arm in the feeder, like, clearing it all out. Brutal.
It's being a brutal
orangutan.
Nice.
It's mine.
It's a good cuddle.
He could rock me to sleep, dude.
Wisdom teeth.
Ooh, let's get down to it.
This is a conspiracy I don't buy.
You just wait. Wisdom teeth. Recent studies have found that wisdom teeth carry a vast amount of stem cells.
Wow.
It's considered medical gold.
Wait, they didn't let me keep my teeth.
They didn't let me keep mine.
I asked if I could keep them, and they said no.
They said it was a biohazard to me.
That's what they told me, too.
It's my teeth.
I think.
How come I lost all my baby teeth? I could keep those.
Yeah.
Did you know that only 15% of Americans that get their wisdom teeth removed actually need them removed? 15%.
I believe that.
What do you got to say for
yourself? It's a conspiracy.
Wow.
Wisdom teeth are important. They carry a ton of stem cells that are good for you, and we're just out here plucking them out.
Well,
and selling them in the black market,
giving them to the man.
Do they actually benefit us? Like, do we like, or is the question that they want them because they want to sell them?
Who knows? Well, I did look it up, and you have to do a procedure in order for that to quickly move it to where it's stem cell research, or goes to stem cell research. But the conspiracy part of it is that it's a, I forget what it is. It's like a $1.9 billion industry of wisdom teeth removal.
So they're making bank.
They're making
That's
bank.
That's weird.
Off our ivories.
That's right.
Dang it, dude.
I know.
And they're making a buck. You know they're getting like a huge kickback for every wisdom teeth. And you said your dentist would not even do cleanings until you got your wisdom teeth removed.
Yes.
I actually would verify that. Baloney. Because they what they basically had said was I called them again after and I'm like, hey, he's having some mouth pain. You don't want to check him out or whatever. And they're like, it's because of his wisdom teeth. So we're not going to see him until he gets those out. So well, they might see you for cleanings, but maybe not tooth pain.
Well, they're fine.
Yep.
They're fine now.
Talk to me in 3 months. Andy, I just want to say, you are better because you got your wisdom teeth out, right?
Well, his were cracked.
I feel dumber. No, mine were literally like they had to be removed because it could have caused an infection to my brain because
yeah,
the crack, the whole top was exposing all the nerves and everything.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
I'm telling you, I'm so glad I got them out because it was so painful.
Wow.
Eating anything was so painful.
That's so sad, Andy.
It was terrible.
You were living with pain.
For years.
Well, this is a cool
story.
I'm
a strong guy.
You hear this story involving teeth?
Sure.
In 1958, the Washington University, they ran this study where they basically asked the American people, hey, do you want to send in your child's baby teeth? And it'll go for like research for like health and to better improve the medical industry, all this stuff. And you're like, yeah, that's cool, right? Wrong.
No, that immediately red flag.
It was a front, a public front for something called Project Sunshine.
Excuse me? What were they doing with these teeth?
You just the teeth are just the tip of the iceberg.
The tip of the teeth.
That was the public front. And it was the saying Project Sunshine. And it was started by the Atomic Energy Commission along with the DOD Department of Defense. Better known as body snatchers.
They were taking kids?
What they were doing was, because at this time during the 50s, they're just lighting off all these nuclear bombs all over the place. They wanted to observe this one compound. What was it called? Strontium 90 or strontium 90. It's this compound that only or is absorbed into the body from nuclear fallout. And what they wanted to do is like, how does this affecting people all over the earth? And so the Atomic Energy Commission, along with the DOD, basically did this whole undercover thing. So they went to hospitals, scientists, and they were literally grave robbing children.
Like dead.
Yes, grave robbing. I thought you would make that connection.
I just didn't want to.
But what they were doing is testing their bones.
Yeah.
And seeing whether or not they had this strontium or strontium 90 compound in their bones. And so this went on for who knows how long. But they would literally, like if a child died during birth or whatever, the doctors would literally team up with these doctors and they would steal ribs, femur bones, and never tell the parents. But they were caught going into places and like basically stealing bodies for these tests. This is what America was doing. Mm-hmm. And the conclusion was like they actually had a large amount of this compound or this particle from nuclear fallout.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And it wasn't discovered until... So the... Atomic Energy Commission never publicly admitted they were taking bones from children until declassified documents surfaced in the 1990s.
So they got caught.
Yeah.
And this is 100% real.
100% real.
What are we doing? That's insane.
But they would do it in the U.S. They did it in Europe, Australia, parts of Asia.
It was all one effort?
All one effort, yeah.
Where did they see any, like... spikes in certain regions where it was like more potent?
Yeah, that's where they were like basically like where they would detonate nuclear bombs. That's primarily the focus of like they would observe like wind direction and stuff of like how far it was carried. So they tested all over, but they were literally body snatchers. They were stealing babies' bones.
That's crazy.
It makes you wonder if they're doing stuff like that still today.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Wisdom teeth.
Testing wisdom teeth. Yeah, this says...
Well, that and other, I mean...
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
It says it's a radioactive isotope produced in nuclear fission, and it's similar to calcium. So that's why it binds to teeth and to bones, and they're able to test. But it's spread in the atmosphere in the fallout, and it contaminates food and water or can be inhaled. So any, you know, you think about like ocean water, people spend time in that, eating the fish, like all of these are ways that you would you would get that in your system.
And they did it specifically for babies and children because their bones are growing, so it absorbs this
developing
thing way easier. Yeah.
Golly.
Can you give me a little hope? That was so doomy.
Sure. Have you ever heard of Operation Big Buzz?
This sounds fun. Toy Story?
I'm just going to... I found a ton of operations and projects that the U.S. government did that are just like...
Why do we live here?
What are we doing?
Also, why did they name it Sunshine? It's the opposite of sunshine.
I know.
It's darkness. Operation Darkness.
Is it because of the song You Are My Sunshine? Because that's a sad song.
You are my... Yeah, that's super creepy.
You ready for this? Okay. Operation Big Buzz, 1955. The Army, the U.S. Army, bred 1 million female mosquitoes that are known to spread yellow fever and how do you say that?
Dengue.
Dengue.
Which is a terrible fever.
Yeah. Roughly 300,000 mosquitoes were loaded into bombs and dispersed from airplanes, as well as released from the ground in small boxes around the United States.
What?
And
to check immunity or something?
Mm-hmm. So, no, to check to see if they can spread bioweapons through insects.
Yeah.
So these mosquitoes weren't infected by a disease or whatever that we know of,
mm-hmm.
but it was just to test to see, can we drop them from bombs? And the conclusions were, yes, mosquitoes survived from aerial drops shockingly well. They dispersed over wide areas, entered homes, and bit humans and animals readily. Tests proved that mosquitoes could, in theory, be used to spread disease like yellow fever, malaria, as a weapon.
Yay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, because you would never expect... Oh, you just like, especially in Florida, you're like, no, it's just mosquitoes, dude. Yeah, yeah, they're everywhere.
Well, they did it a couple of times. They had Operation Big Itch, which they released fleas everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
In bombs, they released fleas in bombs. And then they did Operation Dropkick, which is where they released basically the same concept. They released a ton of mosquitoes in Florida.
Okay, cool.
And it makes you wonder,
yeah,
bro,
if our mosquito problems now are because...
Because they just
these
went crazy.
Early operations, yeah.
Dude, I have a mosquito killed on my windshield that I've been meaning to take a picture of. I swear to you, it's the size of a quarter, and I knew if I said that, no one would believe me, so I left it smashed. But like, it's something different. Like, I've never seen mosquitoes this big. It's weird.
Well, you know what's crazy is Cuba in the 1970s and 80s accused the U.S. government of doing that exact same thing. So they accused the U.S. of releasing that type of mosquito to spread dengue. Is that how you say it?
Dengue. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like dengue fever.
Yeah, dengue fever.
Something I don't remember. You might be more on it.
I'm guessing.
But a 1981 outbreak killed over 150 people, mostly children. Cuba formally accused the CIA and the UN, though hard proof never surfaced.
Well, yeah. How do you prove where the mosquito came from?
Yeah,
exactly.
The perfect crime.
The fact that they're like, the U.S. did this. And they're like, no, how are you going to prove that?
No, we would only do that on our own people. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
We didn't do that to Cubans.
In lecture halls.
But for the Vietnam War, there's the declassified records of mosquito and insect research being tied to the Southeast Asia operations, but no direct evidence that weaponized release were carried out. But they were testing it in Vietnam as well.
Yeah.
And you know that they're doing disease stuff.
100%. I mean, like, what in their mind, what do they have to lose?
Yeah.
If it works, great. Oh, if it doesn't, at least we irritated them, added mosquitoes to their climate.
And our military goes through a protocol of immunizations before they deploy to any of these areas. Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, it's malaria.
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah. And the fact that, like, if you want to travel abroad, you have to get all those vaccines and shots and stuff for yellow fever.
It's not malaria.
because it's probably a bioweapon and they just got out of control.
They're just thinking of everything. It's like that fog they put over San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And now we got mosquitoes. And this was in the 50s.
Yeah.
They're doing something today.
The fleas, dude. That's why chickens are illegal.
Yeah.
Can't control the fleas if you got chickens.
Yeah, and this even goes back to Plum Island where they did all the research on those animals and stuff. And people theorized that Lyme disease was actually created at Plum Island. Man. So it was infested with ticks, or they got these ticks to carry this disease and it just got out of control. Yeah. Now we have Lyme disease. And now we have that new thing going around. Talk about, is this still happening? That where these ticks bite you and people are now allergic to meat.
Yeah. What? That's crazy.
Have you not heard that?
No.
So it's like a new hybrid or a evolution of this disease that ticks can carry, to where if it bites you, people now cannot consume meat without getting sick.
Wow.
That would tick me off. If I couldn't eat meat. That would ruin my life.
Oh my gosh.
Did you see they figured out the pig meat thing? Did we already talk about the solution? Why it was turning blue?
Oh yeah, the feed.
Yeah.
Or it was like the pesticides or whatever.
Yeah, the rat pesticide.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But DARPA today, started in 2016, they're doing a thing called the Insect Allies Program. Basically what they're doing is they're researching, DARPA,
yeah,
right, who was behind nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
They don't make weapons. They're behind the science and research behind making the weapons. Mm-hmm. I said behind like 20 times.
Yeah.
But what they did, what they're doing is they're infecting insects with these certain viruses, releasing them into crops, to where these insects go bring the viruses to the plants to help these plants be more resilient to drought, different types of potential foreign bioweapons or whatever. But they're saying you probably shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can easily weaponize that to where you can infect these bugs with a virus that kills the crops or
kills the people that eat them.
How is it okay to run experiments when you don't actually have like a closed system? Like these just go wherever.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying.
They just don't have the resources. So they're just like, I mean, we have all this land with all these people. I mean, these are our guinea pigs.
Like, imagine you're trying to do an off-grid, like, organic thing, and then the farm next to you is getting GMO'd with mosquito something.
Well, and that's what was happening a lot with Monsera?
I don't know.
Whatever it was, they would have these genetically modified seeds that were, like, patented, and they would blow off in the wind and go into all these smaller crops, and then they'd sue the big guys. There's just, like, no, it's sue the smaller farms, but there's, when you're practicing those things in that way, there's no control, there's no mitigation, but I don't even care.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I know someone who works for them.
Oh, yeah. Really?
They're people are saying that this whole DARPA thing, though, is just a face for them actually developing bioweapons.
Yeah.
Because it's the whole, we talked about like the weather control, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can potentially destroy a country just by weather manipulation. It's like, you can't prove it.
Yeah.
Dude, we don't have a history of weaponizing anything and everything we can.
Or about having interest in like controlling every other part of the world for our own gain.
Doesn't sound like us.
So when you do a bug, you just release these bugs. You can do it in a box.
Yeah.
You can do it wherever.
You sound like a crazy person. Like, what, we weaponized mosquito? You sound insane, dude. I mean, like, there's plausible deniability.
They've been doing it.
It's crazy. And it's like crazy. You're leaving no evidence. Like you're just certainly just done.
They just totally gaslit Cuba probably.
Big time.
You know, because this is during like the whole like trying to like what's his name? Fidel Castro, like the tensions between the US and Cuba. And they probably were just doing this little stuff. And
you test it in America where you can observe,
mm-hmm.
whereas if you were testing it overseas or something, you wouldn't be able to observe it and have the actual like, you know, data. But then as soon as it's confirmed, you're like, okay, now we can weaponize it. Now we can move it overseas or, you know, somewhere else.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I want to just trust somebody.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I want to be able to trust somebody.
Sorry, you can't.
But you can trust in the Lord, guys. Let's bring it back. Bring it back.
Well, I got one more. It's a short one.
All right, go ahead. I need some hope, please.
The Edgewood Arsenal Experiments.
Edgewood Arsenal Experience.
experiments.
Experiments.
Experience.
Experience. I bet it was an experience.
This was ran from the 1950s to the 1970s. U.S. soldiers used as guinea pigs for testing chemical warfare agents. Exposures included nerve gas, mustard gas, LSD, PCP, and BZ, which is a powerful hallucinogen, and various experimental drugs. Many servicemen only learned that they were given these things decades later.
Yeah. Wow.
So literally using your own military as guinea pigs.
Yeah. It's kind of like that the movie Jacob's Ladder. You ever see that one? Yeah. It's wild.
Which I find it's interesting that it started in the 1950s after, was it Operation Paperclip?
Mm-hmm.
Where we brought over all those Nazi scientists who were probably testing this stuff already.
Yeah, on the Nazis. I mean, they were doing meth on the Nazis, right? So, like, we know that.
Yeah. But.
Yeah, they lost their test subjects. So we need to continue testing if you want the science to advance.
Yeah. And like, well, we can't test it on the U.S. population.
Yeah.
But they also did.
Yeah.
The CIA was known for... I mean, what's it? MK Ultra.
Yeah.
They're just putting LSD in people's drinking water.
Yeah, because they need to see on a larger scale too with everyday people who are unassuming, who aren't military, who have not signed papers.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the blob situation where you had all this weird stuff falling from the sky, and you want to see, because there's different aspects of it, like psychological aspects of how people react to certain things happening around them. Like they have to study everything.
Yeah.
Not just the effects of the people infected.
And it just makes you wonder. It's like all this stuff that I just read out is declassified information.
Yeah.
Imagine what is classified.
Oh, dude.
And what's going to be coming to light later.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, that makes sense.
Or what's so
what this would happen.
What's so bad that they never do? Like, we can't ever declassify this.
Yeah. But it makes you wonder if, like, just mosquitoes, just dealing with mosquitoes.
Yeah.
And like now we're like putting up like 5G towers and doing all this stuff with technology. And it's like, we're probably just a bunch of guinea pigs. They're testing out stuff on us.
Dude, and like we're talking about kind of like all of these, like, you know, we're talking about like nuclear fallout and how it's affecting us and the food and everything that's happening around us and how it's going to be affecting our health. My functional medicine doctor was telling me though, too, even more than 5G. We put off energy as human beings, right? We're made up of atoms and all this stuff, and we got ions and all that. It puts off negative and positive energy.
Nucleus.
And she's saying, we as humans, mitochondria, we as humans should not be living in this close proximity to this many humans. Living in something like a city, you are getting energy all the time. And this sounds like witchy, whatever. It's
sounds
not
a little hippy dippy.
It's science, right? No. Chill out.
I wasn't thinking about people. I'm thinking about the freaking 20 million screens we have in here.
Well, it's screens and it's also being surrounded by people, I think.
What if people feed your energy?
Like you're an extrovert?
No, like if it's like a collect, like those little rocks.
Oh, like vibrations?
That are at the bottom of the ocean that they're collecting, how they all collectively feed into one energy source. Maybe God designed us as humans to do the same.
You know, so
we shouldn't be in isolation.
I think your energy's messing with my energy.
Mm. Well, you got some negative energy.
I feel like you guys got a wall slime between you two right now.
Here's all I'm saying is I agree that when you're in a city, though, too, and it's buzzing, don't you just feel sicker?
Yeah, but not by the people, by the
concrete
poop that's on the sidewalk.
When we went to Nashville, there was a naked guy on the street. And you're like, come on.
When we went to St. Louis, Josh was wearing Crocs and he stepped in a human turd. And he got
went right through the holes of the Crocs.
Turd in his toes, dude.
Like, you know, the Play-Doh thing where you push it down, the hair comes out?
Yeah, it's really
poop on my toes.
Did you freak out?
I was like,
I need a bathroom now.
Human poop.
Yeah.
Speaking of gases, though, it reminded me of a story. You know, I got tear gas one time.
Whoa.
What? By a SWAT team?
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. Where?
Not intentionally. We were in Joplin, and there was this big, like, standoff in this house. Like, this guy was going crazy. He had a gun, like, multiple guns. And it was right down the road from the church we were at. And so we all, like, all the pastors went out, and we were just, like, hanging out on the street. And you could see it's, like, less than a block away. And they have it all blocked off. No joke. They brought on, like, the SWAT tank trucks and everything. And it's going on for a long time. There's on Facebook Lives and stuff. So we're just chilling, watching it. Everyone's like, all the people of the community are just like, this is crazy, right? And we're all sitting there. And then suddenly we see just this huge mass of smoke. They broke in and everything. And we're watching the live that like someone's super up close and like, oh, they just tear gassed them and everything. And then suddenly just a big gulf of wind started blowing in our direction. And then everyone around us. And no joke, guys were like dry heaving, spitting up stuff. Our eyes were all itchy and it was in our throats. No joke, all night I had just like, I could feel the burning in my lungs.
My gosh.
It was crazy.
Imagine being in that house though and receiving the full blunt of that.
That's what I'm saying. It's crazy.
I wonder, when was that?
2017.
Why?
Reminds me, it was someone that happened to in Joplin, Missouri.
I don't know.
Oh, anyway.
What?
This is so mysterious.
We can talk about it later. I just want to say their name. That's okay.
We can say it on Patreon, though.
Yeah, we can. Hello.
Patreon.com/ninjas of butterflies.
Absolutely.
Speaking of tear gas.
Yeah.
Peter Thiel.
What is old Peter up to? Our good friend, our best friend, our most trusted ally, Peter Thiel.
I just saw that he is doing... There's an advertisement on Instagram that there's this conference called, was it the Acts 17? Is that what it's called?
That's who puts it on.
But he's doing a 4-day seminar on the Antichrist.
What? How is he an expert?
Listen, I read this article by Christianity Today about the Acts 17 ministry or whatever. And there's some parts where I'm just like, this seems weird.
Really?
But their whole thing is I think they're based in San Francisco, California. And I think their intentions are good. They want to reach the tech industry with the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're doing it the right way. I don't know. I'm not going to judge because the gospel is a gospel and people can receive it however.
Sure.
You know, but apparently the husband of the founder of Acts 17, he used to work for Peter Thiel at Palantir.
Mm-hmm.
And they went over to one tech industry dude's house to do like this like house church kind of thing. And Peter Thiel was there. And Peter Thiel just started talking about like the Antichrist and stuff.
Yeah.
And apparently all these Silicon Valley tech dudes were just like, we didn't know Peter Thiel was a Christian. And it's like, is he though? I mean, because he emphasizes a ton on the Antichrist.
Yeah.
And I watched that interview from the New York Times, like that podcast. We mentioned it before.
Yeah.
But he brought up the conversation of the Antichrist. And Peter Thiel made no sense. I mean, the concepts that he was like coming up with, the guy was pushing back a lot. It was a little annoying because the guy's like, I'm just like, let Peter Thiel talk.
Yeah.
Guy kept on coming off and arguing with him. But he's like, Andrew could probably explain this part a little bit better, but I did want to say about the Acts 17 thing. There's this is a snippet from like one of their church services that they did. They said, we did a Sunday service at Gary Tan's home. He's a famous tech investor and his home is a converted missions church somewhere in San Francisco. We had alcohol and we had really good local food. We had DJ Canvas again, remixing worship beats in the background. CC Winnis with Jake Harlow. And then we had Peter Thiel come back to give a talk about political theology.
Cool.
Oh my gosh, what does that even mean?
Seems pretty solid.
Let's judge based off the fruits. The atmosphere doesn't sound like a very good atmosphere for spreading the gospel. I don't know.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah, but I mean, Jack Harlow. What is Jack Harlow doing there performing music at a church service?
And DJ... with Canvas remixing worship beats.
His seminar was called Holy Guacamole. Pilot event with Peter Thiel.
We're having tacos.
All right, go again to
so Peter Thiel is a libertarian and there's a professor that he studied under whose political and ideological views he like in all a lot of his quotes regarding Christianity are direct quotes from this professor. And so I forget the name of the book, but Peter Thiel is basically puppeting this professor's ideas. I don't think he's saying they're my own, but it's clear that he has this person as an influence.
Yeah, he's like adopted his
viewpoints. He's very much a disciple of this professor. And so, which is fine. But the professor and him are very, very, as far as like the Antichrist and stuff like that, there's this tension between the apocalypse coming and the Antichrist is the hero that saves everyone from it. And so his entire thing is like, something's going to happen that makes you choose one or the other. But mm-hmm. he defines himself, as far as his own religious views, as a heterodoxical Christian, which is him using big words. It's the same root as heretic. And so he's saying, I don't hold to the convention. He doesn't believe you need to evangelize. He's like, my faith is real for me. I don't need to convince you of it. The truth of it doesn't rely on your conversion, which I understand that is true.
Right.
But you cannot call yourself a believer. And the last thing that Jesus said after his 3 years of ministry, death and resurrection, he says, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey the things I've commanded you. You cannot be a follower of that human and say, I don't have to teach you to obey. It's in direct defiance.
Yeah.
Harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. Let's go.
Let's just go party in Silicon Valley.
Like DJ Canvas.
But
I got, it's an awesome God.
So Peter Thiel, I hope, he seems too smart to call him young in his faith and for this to be a naivety. Like, I think there is a political advantage that he's trying to pull from this. Like, you either believe in the Jesus of the Bible or you don't believe in Jesus.
Right.
And so you don't get to pick and choose what you believe. And so I don't, that's what I know what from the little bit of research I did. So that's all I want to assert. But, and that doesn't necessarily reflect poorly on Acts 17. I didn't do a deep dive into what they're doing. They could be doing good work, and then, you know, he's just a keynote that was like, hey, I want to talk about this. And they said, okay. I mean, how many churches with good intent have let someone take the stage and then halfway through you're listening to a guest speaker going, like, oh no.
So, like, well, they're good friends with Peter Thiel. That's the thing. Like, they know where he stands and stuff, and they said that he's well versed in the Antichrist. And my whole thing is like, I don't know, it just seems so like left behind Kirk Cameron. Like,
it's a very, very specific eschatological viewpoint. Like,
yeah.
And I don't think the point, and I know this differs from a lot of guests we have on and a lot of people who listen to our show, but I don't think the point of all the prophecy in scripture is to know what's coming, to know what is coming, other than to know something is coming and our Lord and Savior wins. Mm-hmm. And so,
and there's a big difference between having conversations and then being put up as a teacher,
learning. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Bible's very clear of people who teach should be very careful.
And we talk about, like, Katy Perry has, like, she made that comment forever ago, and people were asking her political things. She's like, I'm just a musician. Why do you care? And, you know, like, but now it's almost like people who make a lot of money are like, he's just a tech guy. I don't care what his theological viewpoint is, nor should anyone in Christendom.
What you should care about, though, is the fact that he is behind so many big things involving your everyday life.
Yeah.
And I did hear
in our future.
Yeah. He did one of his arguments for like transhumanism, you know, the involvement of AI into our everyday human lives. What I believe I got from it was his excuse was that Christians are transhumanism. It's the renewal of the spirit. You become a new person. Like, your soul is transformed. You're a transhuman.
You're not living. It's Christ that's living through you.
So that's almost like an excuse for his
deception.
Yeah. And I'm like, this sounds like the Antichrist. That's why he likes talking about it so much, because it's him. Yeah.
You're already transhuman, so put this chip in your brain so you can buy and sell things.
Right.
When he talks about like using technology to, because he admits like living forever or like eternal health, like those are goals, which I get if you're trying to like solve degeneration or cancer or any of these things, a perfect solution would be your body just doesn't fade. But like when you're looking at him talk about this, it sounds babble, like Tower of Babel, like we're going to solve all of the problems that our humanity has been cursed with.
And that's what that guy's pushback was from the New York Times. He's like, you're talking about this threat and stuff. He's like, but you own companies that is mm-hmm. part of the threat, like Palantir.
Literally. Right.
And
literally.
He's like, how do you excuse that? And it was just kind of this word jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah. Yeah. And anyone who refers to themselves as a heterodoxical Christian instead of a heretic, it's like, yeah, that's what you're doing.
That's so funny. I didn't hear that he labels himself that way.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I mean, that's what ChatGPT said about his views, and there were links you can click where they say he said that, but
yeah.
I didn't hear him say that.
Yeah.
So this is for fun.
And obviously we're Peter Thiel.
He's our bud.
He's our friend. I don't know how many times we have to say this guy.
Come on the podcast.
Yeah.
Please.
Watch that be the completely wrong word.
But just look out for deception, people. That's the whole point of the story.
Yeah, exactly.
And
the only way to do that is by having a personal and authentic and genuine relationship with Jesus every day.
It is a
picking up your cross every day decision. Andy. You have to make that effort every day. It is not, well, I got baptized while I was raised in the church. It's a constant decision every day to say, I'm putting you first. There's constant prayer happening throughout the day. That's the only way we're going to be able to discern any of this stuff.
Yeah. Yes.
Confidently.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's going to be a lot of mysteries and unknowns, but there is stuff that we can stand on and say, well, simply that's not biblical because
this is right and this is wrong.
Yeah.
You'll appreciate this, Josh. So the word is heterodoxy, different belief holding views that diverge from official doctrine, but are not outright heresy is how that's defined. In contrast, its opposite would be orthodoxy.
Interesting.
So he's literally
the opposite of pure.
Nice.
Maybe not complete opposite, but it's.
But yeah, yeah not
yeah,
true.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. So he is flying in the face of orthodoxy.
Which it's actually kind of funny because I was reading last night in Revelation about the seven churches,
mm-hmm.
you know, that were Jesus wrote, like, send this letter to the angel of this church.
Yeah.
And I read this one thing from Acts 17, I think that's what they're called, their ministry, that thing of their church service. And I'm like, that almost lines up exactly with one of these churches to where Jesus is like, you're getting drunk, you're doing this all the debauchery stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, cut it out.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to blow your candle out,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, but it's like Jesus did that so that they would fix their ways.
Exactly.
You know, it wasn't like, you're done.
He's not trying to condemn them right then and there. It's like, I'm warning you.
He said, you've been doing this right, but this is the one thing that you've not been doing right.
Yeah. It's just like Paul's letters. It's just like, listen, I love you, but golly, straighten up.
Yeah. Maybe don't serve alcohol in your church.
For a normal service, that doesn't sound very productive.
Yeah.
Especially for people who struggle. I mean, like, you don't know who struggles with whatever. Yeah. It's like, center it around Jesus.
Yeah.
You can have celebrities, you can have these people, but it's like, yeah, you just want to be able to look at stuff and confident. And it's like, obviously we don't know. We've haven't been in the service, but you just have to, perception is reality in this world. And we have to be careful of how we're being known for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's what I hope. Like, hopefully people look at this podcast, can watch it and know that it's like, yeah, they talk a lot of silliness and they don't know a whole lot, but at the end of the day, the core is Jesus.
Mm.
That's what we have to. I mean, like, that's the goal.
Yeah.
And there's different areas of expertise. I think the thing that's dangerous about Silicon Valley is the amount of intelligence that lives in those spaces technologically. Like, they're advanced thinkers. But when the faith is shallow and you have all of the arrogance of an intellect, you get a really dangerous culty concoction.
Dude, you look at the Bible, how many people were not educated.
Yeah.
We're literally the rocks and the pillars of the church.
Dude, the pillars of Christianity are, you find them more typically in impoverished, uneducated communities, like breaking bread together, having all things in common, taking care of each other. Those aren't things that the elite typically consume and crush each other. It's people in the impoverished communities who understand what community really is.
Yeah. And not only that, it just feels like so much of what they represent as an outsider perceiving is just like embracing the worldliness and the evil nature in us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Josh is reading this book right now and he keeps sharing these little tidbits with me that are so special about the Desert Fathers, those early Christians represented. And to see actual accounts and action put to humility is just like so inspiring. And it's just completely counterculture to what we see right now, you know? And I'm listening to that Josiah, whatever, Father Josiah, the Orthodox guy. And some of the things that he's bringing up is just like the absence of Christianity in our country and in our politics, and how that is a reason for our downfall. And he's calling for a re-embracing of that. And like, even like on the level of like legality, like when people go to court, like they used to back in the day look at religion as a way to decide guilty or not guilty. You know, it used to be so ingrained in our daily lives, and now it is not. Now there's so much secularism. Like, we do look at church as in like, this is our religion, this is secular. He's calling for us to re-embrace that. And for me, I'm just thinking like, it that's not possible. We're moving toward the opposite of that. You know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. like, and we kind of should expect that as Christians. Anyway, where was I going with that? Just as Christians, I guess, embracing being counterculture and just remembering, bring God into your daily life in everything that you do.
Well, that's how you affect culture too.
Yeah,
you
know, exactly.
I mean, like, you think about like Rome that was persecuting Christians, you know, like they were literally killing Christians. It was illegal to be a Christian. And through their perseverance of being counterculture, it ended up becoming a Christian empire, you know, whether or not you...
Yeah.
There's some waves in that, but like Constantine, you know, like one of the first Christian emperors who made Christianity legal.
Yeah.
That affected, so like saying that we can't affect politics and stuff, I think you can.
Yeah.
If you just look at history and know the power of God, it's like us being counterculture and not just saying it's never going to change. It's like, it could.
The gospel is redemptive.
Yeah.
We underestimate God's power in that whole thing. It's when we say, it's no longer I who live, but Christ in me. It's like, what do you want from me, God? Like, you have, like, that's that daily decision. And then you have no idea what God has planned, especially if you're a person in power or leadership. Yeah. It's like, golly, if Peter Thiel started preaching the gospel and started living his life as such, it's like the amount of change that could transpire through that is insane.
And even the doom that we feel, right? Like, the Bible tells us we're supposed to pray that and like be thankful for our suffering because it creates a perseverance and like strengthens our faith. But then like, you think about like, we were told the persecution's coming and to rejoice when it does. Yeah. And when you look at history, diaspora, like people being pushed out of areas is actually what expands the kingdom. So going back to the Great Commission, go and tell. And when we sit in our, you know, holy huddles and don't, he's like, okay, that's fine. The gospel will go forward, but you know, maybe something's going to happen that chases you out.
Yeah.
And you'll learn to rejoice when you see the gospel go.
Yeah.
Because it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
It's not an if, it's a when.
But that's just a mindset thing, right? Like, the kingdom is expanding, even if it means you're being sent from your home. So finding joy, even in the midst of all the conspiracies we talk about.
You know,
like, it could be the expanse and the method by which the gospel expands. So
I think it was C.S. Lewis, I think, said that the people that do most the most for this world are the people who think of the next. And it's like, that's got to be our mindset. We just got to be thinking, what is heaven going to be like? What is heaven? What does Jesus really want?
Yeah.
It's like, we could play it out here.
He also said, there's really cool quote. He said, the lion, the witch, and the wardrobe.
Oh, wow.
That is so deep.
Mm-hmm.
Turkish delights.
Hold on.
Good stuff.
But we have some cool stories.
There's your hope.
Beast of Jebudon.
Yes, that is going to be our Patreon story. And I also have a really crazy story from Ireland in the 1700s.
Ireland.
Sick
about someone coming back from the dead.
Ooh. And I got a story, a clip to show you guys about how police are now using drones for bigger operations. It's really neat.
Sweet. Well, guys, go to patreon.com/ninjasorbutterflies or join our YouTube membership, the Ninja Elite. You get the extra episodes or additional episodes that we do every week. You get discounts on merch. We're going to start doing more private live streams for our audience.
Yes.
Get behind the scenes footage of what we do, blah, blah, blah.
It's all good stuff. And also, if you want some Ninja merch, guess what? We got that new hat. We're going to be dropping new merch for the holiday season. So please keep an all lookout for that at sundaycoolswag.com.
And if you want to come see us live in person, floridatourdo.com, Jacksonville, Tampa, Orlando, come see us. Come hang out with us.
Last chance. There's limited seats left. It's only in a couple weeks, guys. It's going to be an absolute blast.
Tickets are cheap. They're like 20-something bucks.
That's pretty cheap for seeing this.
Yeah. And if you need custom merch, did you already do that?
Not custom merch, no.
If you need custom merch for you, your organization, your school, your business, whatever, sundaycool.com.
We do it here.
Support us, please. Get your shirts, your t-shirts, stickers, whatever, through us. We'd really appreciate it.
We do it. Do
also,
it.
If you haven't liked this video and subscribed, hit the bell. We would appreciate that as well.
Very much appreciated.
Wow. Greatest podcast. I've listened to all the podcasts. Is truly the best.
The best. Well, China.
China.
They've got the power.
They've got the power, but we've got the strength and we've got the podcasts. Have you ever listened to a Chinese podcast? I don't think so.
That's good.
I don't think so. I like how he like leans forward. Dwada.
All right, guys. Love you. Right.
Love you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
See you on a Patreon.
What you're about to see may disturb you.
Ominous.
If any of you know what these
multi-decade UAP
dolphins
are,
aliens,
bottlenose
fish sticks,
there's a massive police response.
Oh, the dolphin thing.
Oh my god.
Dolphin style attack.